matter what it takes, will you do what the Bible says to the nth degree to keep that commitment with your spouse? And I ask you that question because today we're 57% of people in the churches that call themselves Christians get divorced. I must ask that question. I had a phone call this very week, and I'll share this phone call with you throughout this sermon. And I won't make it personal. I won't give you names or anything, and you don't know them. But somebody called me this week and said, "Pastor Billy, we want to get married." And I said, "Well, how do you know me?" And they said, "Well, we were at another wedding you did a year ago, and we like how you did it, but..." And about the time she said, "but," I said, "What's the but?" She said, "But when you do ours, if you will do ours, we don't want you to read the Bible or pray. We want it to be real generic." And I went, "You obviously didn't hear the wedding I did then. That's how I do them." And she said, "But, you know, we really want you to do it because we liked your style, but don't read the Bible and don't pray." And I said, "You know, I got to ask, why not?" "Well, we have a difference in opinion on what we believe." And I said, "Well, since I don't know you, open up. Tell me what's going on in your life." Driving down the road, this gal shared with me that she was an LDS and her husband-to-be was a Catholic. And they couldn't agree on Scripture or even the foundation of the Scripture of who was right. But she told me these exact words, "But once I marry him, I'll change him." And I wish you could have seen my face. Poor guy. Anyway, I became very bold at that point, and usually, you know, I'm not that tough or mean, but I became very bold, and I thought, I heard the Spirit tell me, "Billy, don't let her go yet. Stay on this and get this figured out." And I said, "Ma'am, let me be honest with you. I will not marry you because I don't think it can last." I said, "If you take God out of the equation, how do you expect to make it last?" Well, I'll share with you some more of that conversation in just a minute. But let's jump into this. Do you have an uncompromising commitment to the Word of God to make your marriage relationship last? Here's the list. Number one, men, you must lead spiritually. Pastor, what's leading spiritually mean? What do you mean when you say that? I mean this. You must lead with the wisdom and understanding of the Word of God. If God tells you in your marriage how to run your marriage, people, you're going to have a good marriage. If you use the wisdom and the knowledge of God, our Lord and Savior, to direct your marriage as far as directives go, you're going to have a good marriage. Now, marriages today that are falling apart are because the men are not being the spiritual leader. Men are not leading spiritually. They're not letting God's Word direct their path, but they're letting their banker and their job and their neighbors and their friends and their habits direct their marriage. And not God's Word. God's Word is very clear on how we lead spiritually. And spiritually means to be with God. To become spiritually, have you ever met a person that you've said, "Man, they're spiritual"? What made you say that about them? It was their walk with God. What they did and what they said paralleled with what the Word of God says. Number two, men, if we're going to have an uncompromising commitment to our spouse, and if we'll look at verse 7, and if we are going to dwell with them with understanding, we must be tender. Tenderness. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, tenderness means to be gentle and humble and loving. And that's the three biggest words that I want to give to you today. I'm trying to help you guys today. And my wife has shared this with me over our 24 years in a row of marriage, that I have got to learn to become more gentle and humble. Gentle and humble and loving. It's not leading without tenderness means you proclaim and you just go, man, go. And there's no tenderness. It's like, "Hey, let's go. I said so." But no, it's with humility and tenderness and love and gentleness. Men, become more tender. You know how you make meat tender? You take a hammer and you beat on it. Right? It's got little spikes on it and it goes in there and you're like, "Wow, this is fun." Well, the wife is tired of knocking you out like that, guys. Become tenderized. Be gentle, loving, humble. Number three, intimate conversation. Intimate conversation. The Bible says, "Husbands, dwell with them with understanding." With understanding. The word there in Greek, that word for understanding, is a spiritual connotation kind of a word. And the word in Greek to understand one means to know them in depth. and to know what they are on the inside, not just on the outside. Husbands, do you know your wife's inside? Or do you just, you know, want them to look good? You know what I mean? Intimate conversation. Talk to her about life. For instance, you might say something like this: "Hey, Lisa, how's your life going today?" Not, "What was the score at the game?" Not, you know, "Guess what I did today?" Talk to her about her life and not just the things that you like. And also, here's one thing that I've learned, and Lisa's going to smile and she would elbow me if she could. Intimate conversation, guys, listen to me. I'm trying to help you today. Must be positive about life. Your attitude needs to be positive when you're talking to your spouse with an intimate conversation. I found myself through the years, and Lisa reminds me very loudly, change your attitude and be positive. Some of our intimate conversations are, "Man, I'm just, you know, ugh." And she's like, "Billy, be positive. Be happy about life. And intimately with your conversation, keep your attitude positive." I hope that helps some of you guys today. I struggle with that. I can get negative. Number four, affection. Now all you guys are thinking, "Well, affection, that's pretty easy. You know, I just grab her." Don't be a grabber. Affection means to hold her and cuddle. The word affection in Greek is actually a word that means to come together in a gentle, cuddling way. Cuddle is not a word in Greek, but it's the word we derive from. Husbands, your wives need you to be affectionate. Now, I'm married to a woman that is not very affectionate, and she knows that. I tell her every day. But anyway, and maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's my fault. And I've had to come to that conclusion that maybe my affection, you know, if I'm kind of rough or whatever, maybe that's why she sits in the back seat and I have to chauffeur her around. She won't even sit by me. The kids still sit by me, though, so I still got a chance. Praise the Lord. Give affection. Hold her with cuddleness. And affection means that there's not something that has to happen after affection. Affection is just something that you just say, "You know what, I love being around you, and I'm glad I'm here." And I'll carry more of that in just a minute on another point. Number five. And I want to give you three subpoints to this one. This one's huge. In my 6 years of ministering to families and relationships, I think this is one of the biggest ones I've seen where us men have really dropped the ball. Number five, give her security. Girls, when you go to meet a guy and you're dating him, listen to me, make sure they give you security. All right? And guys, when you're dating a girl, give them security. Let me give you a couple bullet points. In fact, three. Number one, give them financial security. Now, let me explain this, because this was not taught very well to me, and I want to help you guys out. I'm talking about they need to have security financially. I guess let me explain it like this. I know a lot of guys and a lot of men that are always telling me, "Billy, I'm about to hit it big. It's right around the corner. I'm about to land that big old deal, and we're going to be set financially." Your wife needs to know that you're already okay every day. Not that she needs a Mercedes or a mansion, but she needs security personally, guys. She needs to know that financially you're going to take care of her and be there for her, even in these hard times. Listen, it's not always about the big deal right around the corner. It's about the big deal today. And it's financially securing your wife. I'll just put a subpoint to that. Laziness will not give security that she needs. If you're home saying the big deal's coming, watching cartoons and eating bonbons, guys, you're not going to have a very good marriage. All right? Try hot tamales. It works better. All right. Number two, with this point of give her security. She needs to know that you are not giving or not going to abandon her. Let me give it to you like this. There's a gentleman in here this morning. He doesn't even know I know this. He told me this one day, and I wrote it down. A few months ago when I was preparing these sermons ahead of time, I was actually driving down the road with him, and he's here today. I won't even look at him, but he's here today, and he told me these words. We were talking about relationships, and I said, "You know, how you seem to have a great marriage. How is that? What's your secret to this great marriage?" Here's his words. He's point two on this. I wrote them down in my journal. He said, "I tell my wife that she is the only woman I will ever be intimate with until the day I die." I go, "You tell her that?" He goes, "She knows that she's the only one I'll ever be with or I'll ever love for the rest of my life." That gave me goosebumps. And I said, that's point two in a sermon right there. Should be point one. She needs to know that you are not going to abandon her. Guys, tell your wife, I'm not going to ever leave you. They need that stability, that security. And men, if you hold that over her head that you are going to leave her if she doesn't do this or that, listen to me, you are mentally and emotionally wrecking her. If you tell her, if you don't do this, I'm going to leave you, you're emotionally and mentally wrecking her. And I don't want to tell you what God thinks about that because it's not nice. Quit that. Number three subpoint. She needs to know that you do not share your heart with any other women. And I want to make a point to this because I've seen this happen. Listen to me today. Please listen to me. Emotional adultery is a step away from physical adultery. When you start telling other women, yeah, you know, my wife and me, we're just not really getting along very good. And then she tells you something over the water cooler like, yeah, you know, me and my husband aren't. There's an emotional binding there. And then pretty soon you start talking about deeper issues that we shouldn't be talking about. And I'm telling you guys, listen to me. I see it a lot. I counsel a lot of people. Emotional adultery is one step away from physical adultery. And don't ever say, oh, not me. I'm with people right now that are going, that would never happen to me. And I can't believe it happened to me, but it did. Listen, very dangerous. Your wife needs security. Number six, give her time. Time. And by the way, I'm not going to tell you which ones, but I put 10 of these on the refrigerator for my wife. In other words, I said, Lisa, here's the 10 things that God has shown me to teach our people at church. And I said, what do you think? And she brought me back. She said, you're 6 out of 10. So there's 4 of these that I'm not doing. I'm not going to tell you which ones. It's up to you to guess. But the next one is time. Listen, men. And this really hits home. Listen to me. You do as a discipline after marriage, hear this, what you did as a technique before marriage. You do as a discipline after marriage what you did as a technique before marriage. I remember, see, me and Lisa met when we were in the 8th grade. And you know, do we have anybody in here like 7th, 8th, 9th grade? Can I see your hands? We have a few. It's weird for me to see you and to know that at that age I met the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. It's really weird for your parents. But anyway, yeah. I feel sorry for my mom and dad, her mom and dad. They're probably thinking, what? You know? Anyway, we made it though. I remember Lisa lived in Fountain Hills and I lived in Gilbert. And I would wake up every day after I was 16 and could drive and try to figure out, how can I see her today? Where can we be today? And it ended up, usually we would meet on Sunday with Fred and Vicki Coates. They would be our Bible study teachers. We'd be in the youth group, and that's where we'd meet. And I would look forward to Sunday like you would not believe, and it wasn't for the preaching. It was to see Lisa. Yeah, I heard that. I was waiting. I knew I'd get a couple of amens or oh me's out of that one. We need to remember how we used to want to court and date and be with our spouses. And once we get married, we need to remember that and make that a discipline. Remember how smooth you used to be? Man, I remember. How can I do this? Keep that in a commitment. Let me give you 3 quick things, and I'm going to hurry. Spend a little time with her every day. Just something easy. Spend a little time with your spouse every day. Number 2, date her once a week. Date her once a week. I tried to define the definition of date, and my wife turned it down. I said, a date is whenever we go out to eat. So we date every night. She said, no. Amen. I might be in trouble. Oh, number 3, depart on a regular basis. And what I mean by that is, don't take your phone, just you and her. This past Friday night, since I knew I was going to preach this, since I have to practice what I preach, I said, hey, Lisa, let's go over to the Santan Valley Mall, and let's just hang out and get a cup of coffee. She looked at me and said, are you sick? You know, are you all right? I said, let's just go. And we had a ball. We walked around there, drank a cup of coffee, just had a good time. Spent, you know, about $8 total on we both got one. And walked around that whole mall. Got some exercise, and I'm still sore. It was fun. She went in every little shop. I sat out in the deal and just watched people. What a date, you know? Amen. Amen. And she came home and said, that was a blast. And I'm like, we have to do that again? Anyway, next Friday night, if you need me, I'll be at the Santan Valley Mall. All right. Husbands, how are we doing so far? How's our list going along? Are we living with her in an understanding way? How are we doing? Number 7. If we're going to have a great wife, we need to help. Help. That means help around the house, a little help. This is a quote I hope somebody tweets, but I don't know what that means. That just sounded cool. All right. A little help around the house will curb turmoil throughout the house. I knew it. And I said that because I want the women to love me. Amen. I'm going to say it again if I get an amen like that. A little help around the house will curb turmoil throughout the house. Yeah, praise the Lord. Guys, that means take out the garbage, do the dishes, clean the garage, vacuum, and every once in a while, wash the windows. All right. All right. Oh, me. That's right. That's so funny. Guys, help them out. Help them. Help the women out. I'll tell you what. There's nothing like helping a woman out because the turmoil is just not worth it. It's just not. It's not worth it. If my wife says, make the bed, I say, yes, dear, and I go make the bed. If she says, do the dishes, I say, yes, dear, Trey, do the dishes. Oh, I'm getting in so much trouble. Thank the Lord it's free meal today after lunch, you know? God's good. Number eight, let's hurry. I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not in a hurry, but we're going to get done, but I'm almost done. Romance. Romance. Question for you. Question. This is a question to think about, not to really give me an out loud response. Can you build a relationship, a marriage relationship, on romance alone? No, but when she said, I do, she expected you to keep up a little bit of romance. But romance alone will never, listen to me, never sustain a marriage. Romance. I looked that up in Greek the other day because it was a peculiar word in Greek, and I had a hard time finding it. But what it means in Greek is a relationship that touches the heart. When you romance your wife, you have a relationship with her that touches her heart. So when you're sitting outside of Forever 21 on that bench out there and smiling, that touches her heart, man. Some of you didn't get that. The little girls got it. All right. Touch her heart. Romance. Romance. Relationship that touches the heart. Number nine. Guys, this is huge. If you're going to live with her in an understanding way, you must have personal development in her life. I must explain this. Personal development in her life means this. Listen, men. God has placed you within her life to care for her. God has placed you, sir, into your wife's life to care for her life. This is a huge verse. The word vessel, look at it in verse 7. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. I looked that up in the Greek. The Greek word vessel comes from our word vase. And our word vase in a dictionary is a border or a container to hold and protect. She needs you to personally hold and protect her and develop her. Men are to notice, listen to me, and perceive the gifts and abilities within her, your wife, and children. And I am, as a man, my job is to help form them and to, here's some big words, guys, I'm going to get some women amen in me. Your job is to encourage her and develop her and to build her self-esteem and to build her self-worth and to watch her grow under God's grace with your support. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's right. That's good stuff. Encourage, develop, self-esteem, self-worth. Your job, men, is to personally develop her in your life. And if she married you, listen to me, and she says, I don't have a good life, men, it's your fault. It's your fault. Because God said, I gave her up to you to give her the good life. Develop her, shape her, encourage her so she can be all that she can be. To live with all understanding and to live with any understanding, way number 10. If we're going to live with our wives in an understanding way, number 10, you have to spend time with God, men. You have to spend time with God. My wife loves it when she knows that I've been with God and I've prayed and I've sought Him through the Word and then I come to the family and proclaim a decision we're going to do. She loves that. She even loves it when I just knows that I've been praying with her, with God, and just speak with her. See, she knows when my walk with Jesus is fresh or when my walk with Jesus is just a bunch of checklists. She knows. Men, does your wife know that you've been in front of God lately? All right, what's your grade, men? What kind of grade did you get? I got 6 out of 10. But let me make a quick point, number 2. It's not on your bulletin, but God showed me this in the last few days. Honor your wife. Listen to me. Honor your wife. The Greek here for the word honor is plural, meaning honors. In the Greek, honors. She was to be honored, honors. And I'm going to explain it briefly like this. And I'm not going to go into the whole exegetical supposition, but I will give you some scripture. In Acts 23, verses 3 through 5, Paul unpacks this word honors. And this same honor that we're to give our wife men was the same word that the men of Israel were to give to the priests that would go in and see God in the Holy of Holies. It's a great big word. Honors. It's a great big word. It's also in Galatians 3:28. 3:28 uses that same word. See, we are all one in Christ Jesus, and we're to honor our wives. And this was a radical thing because in the time this was written, as I looked it up and researched it, a woman had one job, to have children and to have boy children. Other than that, they were a piece of property, and they were not treated very well. And Paul comes out, and Peter comes out and says, honor your women. Honor her. Give her honors. This was radical. Very radical. So listen, if you want to have a godly wife who loves the Lord, who loves you, who loves the church, and if you do have a wife like that, you have a wife that has fought through the culture of today's time, through the barricades, if you will, of this time, and you better love her and give her honor. Have you watched TV lately? The TV tells your wife that if she stays with one man till death do them part, that she's crazy. The TV tells her, and Hollywood tells her, she should experience a lot of different men. But if you have a wife that has fought through the barricades, honor her. Give her your honor. What if your wife came in at 2 or 3 in the morning every day, reeking of alcohol and other men's aftershave? What if you had a wife who left your children without supervision or without any care and left them alone home scared every day? What would you have? I just put this in my notes. What if you had a wife that put racy pictures of herself on Facebook, like some of my friends' wives have? If you have a godly wife who's faithful and pure to you, you ought to give her honor. And you ought to give her praise to God for her. Number 3, and I'm going to be done with this. Men, we must commit to the spiritual so your prayers are not hindered. Will you underline that again? It says, of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I really kicked this around this week. I really looked at this verse and thought, Lord, help me with this verse. What does this mean? God has shown me a few things I want you to look at. So your prayers are not hindered. So it doesn't say, Billy, honor your wife and live with her in an understanding way as a weaker vessel so that your meals taste good. It doesn't say so that your football team wins in its game. It doesn't say so that your children obey in everything you do. It says so that your prayers will not be hindered. Hindered in the Greek means to be cut off or chopped. Cut off or chopped. So maybe, listen to me, draw near as I say this in closing. Listen to me. Maybe, just maybe, this is why our families are so dysfunctional right now today. Maybe it's because the men are not living with their wives in the way that they should. And so God has chopped off our prayers to Him. We pray for our children and yet there's rebellion. Why? Because I'm not living with my wife in the right way and God chops me off. Really, you might say? Well, look, it's right here. That your prayers may not be hindered. It could be why we struggle in our jobs. Could it be why we struggle in our business? Could it be because we're not living right with our wife's men? So when we pray, God hears it and then chops it off. Chop, chop. And we cry, Lord, I can't grow spiritually. Lord, I can't understand the Word. Lord, I can't get my children to listen to me and live the right way. Lord, I can't make it anymore in life. Lord, I can't find satisfaction. Or, as Mick Jagger would say, I can't get no satisfaction. And if I'm not right with my wife, and I pray, God chops my prayers off. Live with her in an understanding way, and God will hear and answer your prayers. Wow! Did you just hear that? The Bible says, live with your spouse in an understanding way, and your prayers will not be hindered. That's easy, guys. I've seen God work in my own life around this area. And the hardest thing to do, I know, men, look at me right now, and I'm going to have Michelle come up right now. Men, listen to me. Everybody look at me. The hardest thing you'll ever do is pray with your wife, you and her. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. But I've experienced in this and that, when you do pray with her, God quits chopping off your prayers. So today, right where you're at, I want you to grab your wife by the hand. If you're here and you're married. And if you're here and you're not married, that's okay. I'm going to give you a sermon in a few weeks. And listen, you're going to want to hear this one on marriage, remarriage, and divorce. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It'll be a great Sunday for a lot of us to learn about that. But today, if you're with your wife, listen to me. I want you to grab her hand and we're going to pray together. And I'm going to ask you that after you leave here today, that you'll make it a habit that you'll pray with your wife. Because when I pray with my wife, she sees that I've been with God. And these 10 things just fall into line when I pray with my wife. And the Lord above, who knew no sin, became sin so that we could be righteous in Christ and know God. Our wives help us, guys. Listen to me. This message was not an easy message for me to preach. It was very draining emotionally. It even really took the life out of me to get this message ready. But hear me, guys. We need instruction, do we not? Lord, please help us right now as we pray. Father, I just pray that you'll help the men of this church to get this. And I pray that the women would get their part and challenge us as men. Father, we love you. And Father, I pray right now that within the sound of my voice, if there's anybody here that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that today they would change that. And Father, I pray that for the men in this congregation, in this area, this community, I pray that we would get right with our wives, so that our prayers were not cut off. So, Father, as we hold hands with our spouses right now, I challenge the men to continue this in prayer. Continue to pray with your wives. And, Father, I pray that right now, if anybody today is willing and able to come forward and start a new life today with Jesus Christ, that they would do that. And, Father, I pray that couples that may be in trouble right now as far as their emotional, physical, spiritual knowledge of you. Father, I pray that couples today would be bound together forever. And that their sin would be washed away. And that as couples, they would press on forward with their prayers being answered and do great things because you've done great things in them. Father, I pray that today in Jesus' precious name I pray. Will you stand with me this morning? If you need prayer, if God has spoken to you,